Our second lesson, the Holy Gospel for today, is recorded in the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, the 13th chapter. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." The Gospel of our Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. Grace to you and peace from our God and from our Savior, Jesus the Christ. It is so good to be with you today, and that is really heartfelt today. The year 2020 will never be remembered as Clear Vision 2020 of a great world, because it wasn't. It was destroyed, and it was in some sense destroyed by us. It was destroyed because, as scientists are saying now, when they looked at this COVID virus, we did not notice that our environment is affected by how we treat others, particularly animals, and put them on a lower level than we are. They say, scientists and biologists say, that stress in animals turns to viruses in animals. And those viruses are passed on to humans eventually, hence COVID-19. So our lives were in ashes in 2020 due to a virus, not a human enemy of any kind coming and attacking us. The new 2021 slogan that we have by our national administration after our year of destruction is now "Build Back Better." It's hard to understand what all that means, but build back better. In other words, we have to build back. We have to come up from the ashes. COVID-19 has ravaged, and it has even destroyed much of what we knew, much of what we took for granted. Talk to John and me about what we took for granted on our trip. Never did we in our fondest dreams think we'd end up stuck in Germany for a while. So this has destroyed much of our dreams and what we took for granted in the last 100 years since the last pandemic, which none of us experienced. My mother used to talk about it, and she was 4 years old when it hit, and she remembered it well, but we don't remember it. So now the promising era we live in today is build back better. Build back better from those ashes of what was a very good life for most of us. But we must remember we lost 750,000 Americans and many more globally in this fall to ashes. Our cost of living, you know about it. The food, the fuel, it's on TV all the time, and it's in our pocketbooks when we go to pump gas, go to buy groceries, especially for Thanksgiving. Jobs are lost. They're coming back now, but they've been lost. Loved ones are lost. Goods are not moving in the supply chain, as we know, to where they need to be accessed. They are in ships hovering off the coasts. Yes, COVID has destroyed our world of spires of wealth. We think of spires on churches, but there are spires of wealth too. It is said that you can tell the importance of a country by the highest buildings in its country. In the United States, that happens to be banks and commerce buildings, when you think about it. When we were in Europe, the tallest buildings were cathedrals and their spires reaching into the heavens. In October, when we were in Passau, Germany, we toured this, I talked a little bit about this already, this huge cathedral, a short walk from our cruise boat, the Viking Modi. This St. Stephen's Cathedral, gorgeous, beautiful place, had the largest pipe organ in the world, the entire world, and we stayed for a concert there. Oddly, this magnificent structure that we were sitting in, huge, at the turn of the century, burned to the ground. They had to rebuild it from the ashes. Now it was the center of Passau's worship again. With a painting in the front, right in the front of the church, they didn't have the pipes here, they were in the back, they had a painting of St. Stephen being stoned at the front, a huge painting. Then we went from this joy to sudden destruction of our own in our dream trip, 14 days on the rivers. Our trip ended on day 6 with John testing positive for COVID-19 and our being escorted right off that boat and being driven 4 hours to Frankfurt to a 5-star hotel, very nice, where we were quarantined for another 6 days in a very tiny room that got smaller every day. Two American-speaking or English-speaking stations on the TV. Not many people speaking English except for the hotel's people. That 6th day, John tested negative for the virus, and we flew back to the States 2 days later. In our original 14-day itinerary, one port we did not reach, which we were going to be in 2 days, was Cologne, Germany. You probably heard about that from World War II. Once again, a beautiful cathedral, and they're working on it yet, with spires stretching as far as the eye could see into the heavens. But during World War II, that place of worship was bombed, and much of it was destroyed. Ashes again, as Jesus talks about in today's gospel. Temples will fall to ashes. And the people persisted in God's name anyway without their temple. But they rebuilt it too. It was God with them, Emmanuel. In a sense, we experienced landmarks of destruction and experienced a tour ending in a kind of a microcosm of our dream trip. But it is a time of connecting with words and today's gospel. It was a time that we experienced God's hand in our lives. In the gospel from Mark that I read today, Jesus tells of such large-scale temple destruction. He's up on the Mount of Olives telling these 4 disciples about what they want to know about signs. He's up there and he can see the temple, the Jewish temple, from that Mount of Olives. He tells of this destruction, but Jesus hangs in there. He hangs in there reassuring us that this is just a human trinket. He puts it in perspective. It will not last. His reign, however, will go on forever, and you'll hear a lot more about that next week. Next week, we say goodbye to the Gospel of Mark. That short, my favorite gospel, by the way, an ending. We say hello to the Gospel of Luke, the 3-year lectionary tells us, a beginning. This week we end the very long green season, and I wore this particular stole because it's all Jesus miracles on here. We end this long green season of growth that started with all Jesus miracles, as you can see. We end this season and we go into the white of purity and new beginnings, and then blue or purple for Advent beginnings. So, okay, what is today? Well, it all depends on how you look at it. We all know that glass half full, half empty scenario. Today is that kind of a day. There's a Chinese expression for this kind of a destruction ending beginning day. We stand at a crisis. The Chinese expression for crisis has two world views. We can see crisis, and we all do when we start out, we see crisis as danger. We sure did when we were on our trip. All of a sudden, we had crisis. And then that crisis, that always fearing the next sandal is going to drop from Jesus' foot, or we can see crisis in a second way as opportunity to grow in our faith. A new beginning, a chance to fill that full glass rather than tip it over. Whenever we enter this place or any of these wonderful places of worship, God's houses, we are compelled to refocus, not on silly human squabbling among ourselves, which we tend to do quite often, or focusing on what we have or want. No, we are here to focus on that higher power, God, and turning our troubles over to that all-powerful God above this lofty church. A God that never, ever, ever, ever fails us. What looks like danger and ending today may be indeed God's revelation to us today, a new beginning, a new opportunity. Talk about danger, even in God's church. Let me tell you a tale of two churches that I served. When I first entered the United Church of Christ, I have privileged call in the United Church of Christ, even though I was ordained Lutheran. And I did studies for that and such to become a United Church of Christ pastor. Back in 1995, I was assigned two churches as my first call in the UCC. I was called there to one in Fall Creek called Peace United Church of Christ. It was in trouble, and I was sent there to mourn with them and to help them reach closure and shut the doors. That was my job. And then they were to move on and find another place to worship. The other church was St. John's in Humbert, a little town off on going down toward Black River Falls on Highway 12. Up on the hill, beautiful little church. It was in danger too, but still gathering a good number of people on Sunday, plus people who had moved away were still supporting the church. What looked to be danger on both fronts here became opportunities. One, to help pastor and folks to new beginnings. Another, to bring care and hope that they would continue. As it turned out, I totally failed in my mission to help close that first church in Fall Creek. I just showed up on Sundays, and somehow a miracle unfolded. For some God-given reason, the little church was given the grace to make it day by day, year by year. They began seeing the glass half full. They began seeing how they could serve their community. They forgot about the danger of closing and worrying every day about that, and saw opportunities to bring people to their loving community, just like we can do here. Shout Emmanuel, the Hebrew word for God with us. We started to say that. God wanted this little church to survive a little longer, and it did for 14 more years, 10 more after I left. It finally did close, but the people of that community were served. The other church in Humbert, that wasn't quite as much of a trouble. They never worried about the glass half empty. All those people there always talked about how we can do this and how we can do that. They had this wonderful attitude. They still see each day as a chance to start with the glass half full, putting it and keep putting water in it, or maybe wine in it, Christ's precious blood. And they have seen ashes poured down on them many times in that congregation. They have had to give up much since I served there. Their way of communing has changed. They used to go by tables. It was an old German church, or Swiss church. They did not have a regular pastor after I left, but at least they were having one when they needed it. But most important, they have not ever lost their sense of knowing God was in that place for them. When the church understands worship is not about them, but it is about thanking God for destruction, for endings, for beginnings. And it is then that they become the real church in the community, not a social club. That's right. I said, thanking God for destruction? Thanking God for endings? Thanking God for beginnings. Temples are destroyed for a reason. Sometimes it makes people appreciate what the purpose of that temple was. It actually brings people from danger to opportunity, that same Chinese word. Crisis is a wonderful word for the church. And the church is not the only place to look at destruction, is it? Endings and beginnings, as we near this end of the church year, next week will be the last day of our church year. Although it's a microcosm of the world in which we live. In a sense, John and I experienced on that Viking cruise, a momentary sense of ashes, destroyed what we had hoped would be a fun time. But rising to see God was with us and keeping us in good care and surrounding us with loving German people who cared about us, who cared about everyone who came there. We lived today's gospel in a sense. We did. And I thank God for all of you praying for us while we were gone. And thank Linda for sharing that story. Your care supported us. Let me tell you that. Your care supported us, lifted us, saved us while we were with those German faithful loved ones. Thank you. John Donne, I was an English major, you know. John Donne, an English pastor, poet, and one of my favorite authors, probably my favorite author, wrote this, and we've all heard this. I'll put it in modern context. Instead of man, I'll use human, and instead of mankind, I'll use humankind. No human is an island entire of itself. Everyone is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a cloud is washed away to sea, Europe is the less. Boy, did that resonate. As well as if a promontory were. As well as any manner of thy friends or of thine own were. Any man's death diminishes me because I am involved in humankind. And therefore, never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. Jesus talks of temple destruction, ashes rising with his eternal word. You might say, if we look around in our communities here, we are part of other churches. We are First Lutheran, the oldest Lutheran church in Eau Claire, that surprisingly to everybody closed. That was my parents' church. And the parishioners became Our Savior's New Spirit on Main Street. We are Mother Emmanuel, Episcopal Methodist, where a Bible study group and a pastor were gunned down. And we are Notre Dame in Paris today. The Passau church we visited reminded me of that night on the nightly news we watched Notre Dame burn with all those beautiful spires to the sky. We have, in a sense, been destroyed because we are part of all of that. Every time we see that, we are a global community in God. We mourn, we cry with our sisters and our brothers in Christ. We do not ignore our neighbors and say, lucky us. We go through the muck side by side with all of our neighbors. And they're out in the world. But after grieving comes the gospel. Then again, perhaps grieving is part of that gospel. We rise up only through understanding endings as new beginnings in our faith. Actually, When we think about it, every weekly worship service is meant to be a model of that scenario. We start with confession, as Esther read, in coming to hear how God heals us. We leave this worship on a note of hope in our faith. Every Sunday we do that. We rise to new beginnings. It's an upward spiral, another spire to God. That's what worship teaches us every single week. So when destruction does strike, we lean on that spire of faith, not the spire of the church building. We handle the junk and come through the muck to new beginnings. I am sure the people of First Lutheran in Eau Claire, Mother Emmanuel, Notre Dame in Paris, felt huge endings from centuries of worship. It is hard to see any beginning when you're standing in ashes, isn't it? It's hard to see hope. It's hard to see love. It is really hard to see God with us. But God is there. God is there weeping with us. God is our eternal temple, invisible. John and I felt God was with us in that tiny, smaller, everyday hotel room where we were imprisoned, so to speak, for 6 days. It was lovely, but we didn't know how long that was going to last. That changes your perspective. Not knowing if it was going to get worse, we were going to get hospitalized, or even die in a foreign country. That is kind of scary stuff. But there were those prayers, the prayers here, the prayers there, our prayers. There was the weeping God with us every day and night. And there was that faith community next to us, the German people. And what about God's people in this place, in this time of nearing the end of the church year, symbolic and reflective of our endings, big and little? Because the end of the year is a ceremony of dying, in a sense, away, we reflect, don't we? We reflect, we do some closure on our setbacks and sorrows this year, and all of us have had them. We certainly had them in 2020. Nobody escaped 2020 without some setbacks and sorrows. We lost our mail carrier. We lost a good friend on our block to COVID. And there were many others. We reflect, we celebrate something new and exciting, and there will be many with Christ's love in us. We reflect on war, too. We just celebrated and memorialized Veterans Day. We reflect on finally peace after 20 years. I'm not a big war person, especially if there's not a good reason for it. Finally, our country is free of war this year, at least that war. We reflect on the countless lives, though, maimed and killed for war's peace. We reflect on freedom, that Berlin Wall that came down 32 years ago this past week. I was ordained on November 12th, the week the Berlin Wall came down, 1989. What a wonderful dual celebration in our lives. We reflect on how God has carried us through the real and the imagined floods, tornadoes, fires, and deaths in our own lives. And we come through it all thinking they're all pretty petty things we disagreed about and were silly in view of the bigger picture and the big guy who keeps us from going over the edge, God. Next week, you will celebrate the reign of an earthly king, not an earthly king, but the reign of Christ. It will be wrapped in purity and white. At one time, it was called Christ the King Sunday. Celebrated it for many years, calling it that. But we discovered this was no earthly king. This is an eternal love come down, not a king. Jesus the Builder is entering our crisis of despair with building blocks. What are those building blocks? Their hope, their faith, their mercy, their love, their peace. They're not concrete, mortar, wood, or other potential ashes. They're eternal. The only place he was called a king, Jesus was called a king, do you know where that was? There was only one place Jesus was called a king. Jerusalem. The place where he was slain by Roman kingdom people erecting a cross, a torture. And this king ruled through, what did he rule through? If he was a king, he ruled through powerlessness and grace in an upside down boat with an upside down crown of pain and thorns, riding into Jerusalem on a ridiculous donkey to prove a point. To prove a point. His kingdom was not, definitely not, of this world. It wasn't even a kingdom in our way of thinking. It was a reign of powerlessness and grace to save us and give us a full, full cup of blessing. That cup so full to overflowing with his precious blood. We build back better after destruction of our landmarks turn ashes because the Christ, Jesus, rises and reigns eternal for us always, everywhere, everywhere we go in our life and the next life. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds on Christ Jesus. Amen.